You're listening to Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in the studio by Kate Lochte and Ed Zimmerer.
Dr. Ed Zimmerer of the Murray State Jones College of Science, Engineering, and Technology, and our snake expert. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Kate. It's good to be here.
Now, I asked you to come aboard because on my Facebook, I've had a couple of people opine that this is a snaky summer, going to be a snaky summer. Is that accurate?
I don't think this summer is going to be any more snaky than any other. It looks to be a very lush, productive summer so far. And if we don't get any drought, as we often get late in the summer, I expect it to be a good summer for any organism or animal living outside the town. One thing about a summer like this is when it is very lush, there may be a lot of snake activity, but you're less likely to see them because there are more places for them to hide and more difficult for you to see through the vegetation.
Explain that about how we probably all live amidst snakes and we probably don't ever know that.
Well, that's true. And I tell my students when we go looking for them that for every one they see, there's probably 10 or 20 or 30 or more that they don't see. Snakes, most of them, in fact, all of them here, are much smaller than us. They consider us a threat, a danger, and they deal with that usually by hiding. And many of our species have what we call a cryptic coloration. They blend in very well with the background. And unless they're on a substrate that contrasts with that, we often walk right past them.
Well, I'm so glad to know that. I'm kind of snake scared, but you're not because you know all about them. So share a little bit about how we could behave around snakes when we're scared of them and what behaviors we might be able to deal with if say our pets are being threatened by a snake that looks dangerous and that we actually recognize as dangerous. Perhaps you could describe a couple of the venomous snakes that do live around here?
Sure. The best thing to do for anyone who is not familiar with the different species of snakes we have here is just if you see one, to simply leave it alone. We are bigger, stronger, faster than them. They're not going to chase you down. You turn around, walk away, or step aside. You're perfectly safe. Now, that being said, we do have some venomous species of snakes around here. We have two species of rattlesnake. We have the copperhead and the cottonmouth or water moccasin. There's just two names for the same thing. They can be, at least the two latter, the copperhead and the water moccasin, locally abundant. But that means there are little pockets of populations where there might be decent numbers. But even there, in most cases, you'll walk right by them and not see them. Now, the rattlesnakes, on the other hand, in this state are becoming very rare. The smaller of the two, which is the pygmy rattlesnake, is endangered in this state. We have a very small population possibly still remaining in Callaway County and parts of LBL. But even someone who looks for them as a living, as I do, have only seen two of these live in the wild in the 25 years I've been here. That's the pygmy rattlesnake. The larger rattlesnake we have here is the timber rattlesnake that can get upwards of 4 feet, perhaps more. And that's the more dangerous of the two.
True. That's a big snake, eh?
That's a big snake. And they're fairly robust animals, so not only are they long, but have a good degree of girth to them. And they can inject a fairly large amount of venom. Remind me later, before we finish up, to tell you a little bit about what it feels to be bitten by one of those.
Oh, do that now.
Okay. If you're bitten by a snake and you're not sure what it is, just calmly ask yourself a question. Does it hurt? And hurt a lot. Most snakes have tiny little teeth. If they bite you, it's nothing worse than a little scratch that you get from a rose bush. With the venomous ones, though, if they do inject, and they inject venom, sometimes they bite without injecting the venom, but if they inject the venom, you feel a very intense pain in a matter of seconds. So you know it's clear. Oh, this hurts. This hurts a lot. It's kind of like your limb would be on fire. I have been bit twice as a youngster, not knowing what I was doing, and once as an adult, having handled many, many hundreds of these things. If you do handle them long enough, you will make a mistake, and I was tired that day. But in most cases, the vast majority of bites happen just like that, when someone tries to pick up a venomous snake. The data says anywhere between 95 to 98% of venomous snake bites happen because someone tries to pick them up. So the simple solution there is don't pick them up unless you really know what you're doing. And even there, you have to be aware of the risks.
Can you kind of nudge them to go away?
They can be a little stubborn sometimes, and if you try and like shoo them away or scoot them away, often they feel threatened and they'll take upon a defensive posture, which for the venomous snake is just curl up and stand their ground. Now, if you have a long-handled shovel where you can lift them up, you might be able to get them moving, but again, you know, they're not the brightest organism out there, and they don't know what your intent is. They feel threatened.
Okay.
And their defense is to strike back.
And this goes for the copperhead as well, yeah?
Yes, it does. The copperhead bite isn't quite as bad. Still is very painful. And if you are, that does happen. You do feel the pain, severe pain. The best thing to do is have someone get you to a local hospital. I don't really think your life is going to be threatened, but you need some help dealing with that pain for several days. And they can put you on the appropriate pain medication. And if need be, they can give you an anti-venom shot, which will help speed up the recovery.
Well, that's good to know. So then we're blessed with an amazing variety of snakes which don't bite. Right?
That's correct, yes.
They don't do any damage to you if they bite you. They're good snakes, and they take care of things that you might want taken care of.
That's true. Some of our larger species, like the rat snake and king snake, are primarily rodent eaters. And if you have grain or store anything like that, it's good to have a rat snake around. It'll keep the rats away, keep the mice away, or at least keep the population down. Again, if they're threatened, they will bite too. But as I mentioned before, the rat snake, king snakes, and snakes of that size that are non-venomous can't do any appreciable damage to you.
They just freak you out if you're that of a mind to be freaked out.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Now, it's always been a bit of a puzzle to me why some people are so afraid of snakes and others, like myself, it's the exact opposite. It's always been a fascination. I have noticed, and I do a lot of outreach to local schools with snakes, that the really young kids tend not to be afraid. The fear of snakes tends to develop somewhere later in grammar school or middle school or high school, and with some people, not all. So I think part of it is a learned response. My first experience with a snake, and I don't remember this, but there are pictures in the family archive somewhere of me sitting in the rock garden outside our house in wearing nothing but diapers, clutching a garter snake. So at a very young age like that, I didn't think twice about picking one up. Fortunately for me, it was a harmless snake.
I bet your mom was a little bit.
She was afraid, yeah. And as was my father and probably everyone else involved at the time.
But they got a picture. What about that?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Listen, Ed, we are so grateful for you to drop by. And now you're going to send me a PowerPoint.
Yes.
Tell me what, because we'll put this online and it'll have illustrations.
Yeah, I have. It's basically just a slideshow, but on PowerPoint, of the snakes of the purchase area of West Kentucky and the adjacent area, so Illinois, Missouri, and Tennessee.
Great.
So it's a good resource if you see something, not sure what it is. You can really narrow the potential group of species or snakes that it could be just by scanning through the presentation, see which one looks like it.
I know we have to scoot in a hurry, but I want to add, you know, the bit about looking for the big triangular jaw and the slitty eyes and the, what do you call them, the pits.
Yes.
You say it's, yeah, that may be a marker of a venomous snake, but you don't want to get close enough to tell that it's all there.
That's correct. our venomous snakes in Kentucky have elliptical pupils, which separates them out from most of all the remaining snakes we have in the state. But you need to get up very close and personal to see that. Same thing with these pit-like depressions on their head, which are heat-seeking or sensing pits. Again, you have to get very close to it. All four of our venomous snakes have comparatively large triangular-shaped heads, but that's not a great character either because many of our non-venomous snakes can temporarily mimic that by spreading their jaws and puffing up their body to make them look that way. So the best answer there is, if you're not sure what it is, simply leave it alone.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Ed Zimmerer of the, and I've got to go slowly again, the Murray State Jones College of Science, Engineering, and Technology. Thank you for being
here
today.
You're welcome, Kate.
You're with Murray State's WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.